1-1 pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep to right field. Way up there. Way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for being here once again. It's great to talk to you. It's been a little while. I hope you enjoyed your Memorial Day holiday, your Memorial Day weekend. The Mariners certainly enjoyed the holiday yesterday as opposed to the weekend. So we have a lot to talk about in this podcast. We'll swiftly review what was a tough weekend for the Mariners against the Minnesota Twins. We'll dive into the game yesterday a little bit more as the Mariners bounce back in style, beating the Padres. We'll take a look at the day game today and then what comes up the rest of this week. We'll talk about in the podcast coming up tomorrow. But this is a big podcast. We have the week that was coming up. Nick Vincent, great conversation with him. He's facing his old team, the San Diego Padres. Spent all spring with the Padres. He came over right at the end of the spring training and is with the Mariners now. And it's been a huge, huge factor out of the bullpen. He's just destroyed righties this year, and he's been key in the pen. So we'll hear from Nick Vincent coming up. Also, great conversation, Aaron Goldsmith, Mike Blowers, with the general manager, Jerry DePoto. Very interesting stuff. Since we last spoke, Martin has gone on the DL. So this is our first chance to talk about it on the podcast. And Jerry DePoto has some very interesting thoughts on what Martin was doing. They're taking him on the roads. Some interesting I think it's very interesting what he has to say about that. And, of course, it's a huge loss in production, having an all-star caliber season. Certainly defensively, offensively, has provided a lot of punch in center field. So that will be a topic of conversation as well, coming up with Jerry DePoto. But first, I want to thank you for last podcast on Friday. We had our first ticket giveaway with our first Vote Mariners feature, and it was fantastic. The response was overwhelming. I always am surprised pleasantly by reaction to all that we do. I certainly appreciate it. But congratulations to Patrick Hobson, winner of the tickets for Memorial Day. And we'll definitely do it again. We will definitely give away tickets as we move through this season. We'll probably do it a little differently each time to give people kind of fair chances at it. I guess one of the things that blew me away the most about is how many early risers we have in terms of listeners on the podcast. So early birds got the worm this time around, but we'll change up how we do it from time to time to give everyone kind of a fair look at it. But, thanks. I've said it many times already, and I will say it from time to time again. I certainly appreciate all the listeners and all that you do. I remember a couple years ago when I first brought this idea to the Mariners. I know this fan base. I know how passionate this fan base is, and I thought this idea could really work and something that Mariner fans would really be into, and it's proven out. And again, it's nothing I'm doing. It's all you. It's the listeners. It's you. And I certainly appreciate it. And again, all the feedback you give is fantastic. The when you go to iTunes and leave the ratings, that really helps. I mean, everything along those lines certainly helps the podcast. We continue to try and grow it, make it bigger, and just try and make it better and better. So I appreciate it. And of course, I always take your ideas, your thoughts, your questions along the way. You can always reach me at Gary Hill Jr. on Twitter with anything. Also email GaryHillPXP@gmail.com. And of course, follow at Mariners Pod. And the biggest advantage there, you know exactly when the podcast comes out. And so that's an active Twitter handle too as well, at Mariners Pod. So again, thank you. And let's get to work here. As the Mariners, they are swept aside by the Minnesota Twins, and really a surprising series. Think about where we're at heading into Friday. Felix on the hill. Mariners just absolutely rolling, but stopped cold. The Twins played like the team they were expected to be to start the season. This was a team that won over 80 games last year, finished second in the Central, three games out of the wild card, and really was down to it to the end of the season. And the expectations, with just about everyone returning from a year ago, Torrey Hunter retired, but I mean, they returned just about everyone this year, added Park as well, so some pop to the lineup. But they started out 0-9 on the season and just scuffled to get anything going. The offense has been turned up as of late, and the Mariners saw that firsthand. Sano in particular, Mauer, the two guys in the middle, homered in each of the three games, and they sweep the Mariners in the three-game series, although it really came down to starting pitching when you look at the M's. Short starts all the way around. Felix was longest at six innings. Mylan Walker didn't give the M's even five in the three-game series. And we talk about how important starting pitching is with the M's, the backbone of this team. And all three games, starting pitching struggled throughout the series, and the Mariners go down in all three. So yesterday, Mariners certainly looking for a good start from Nathan Carnes and looking to bounce back in a big way against the Padres, and they got both.
Nathan looks in, the windup, and the 3-2 to Norris. Swing and a miss at a curveball for strike three, and that's it for San Diego. That is strikeout number five for Nathan Carnes. A 1-2-3 inning despite the one-out single.
So Carnes pitches into the seventh. He goes 6 2/3, 8 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. He throws 97 pitches along the way. And here's what he had to say about his performance in this ballgame.
No, I mean, just every time I go out there, I just try to give my, you know, try to give the team a position to win a ball game. And, you know, we haven't had much success lately, but our offense has been really producing. So for me, it was just try to keep the ball game close. We have a very special offense here. And I feel like, you know, as long as we keep it close, you know, eventually we'll get the big knocks and the offense machine will start rolling. And today it was a prime example of that.
What was working so well for you today?
You know, I felt like I had a good command of the strike zone. I only had one walk. You know, I kind of got some bad luck with some of the ground balls against the shift, but outside of that, I felt very comfortable out there. I was working well with Chris. Me and Ionetta had a great idea. Ionetta, you know, he's such a, you know, luxury to have back there. He has such great knowledge of so many hitters across the league, and, you know, it really makes it easier on me. I just got to go out there and execute pitches, and, you know, and if I count, find myself on a count I need to shake off, he doesn't mind if I shake off, but for the most part, I've been following his lead this year. It's been a very, you know, strong luxury to have back there.
Scott said maybe a bit more of your aggressive games of the year. Do you feel like that? You come out.
You know, I feel like I've been trying to be aggressive. You know, this season so far. I think I just, you know, I had better results right off the bat. You know, I was able to strike the guy out, lead off the game, and then, you know, that, getting that first out really kind of settles me down. And you know, it's just kind of go out there and pound the strike zone. And, you know, defense made great plays on me. I had a line drive. I kind of messed that up, and then we followed up with a double play, you know, with Dejo over there at first. So I mean, just gotta keep the game close and let my defense really play strong behind me, and that's all I've been trying to do all year, and it's been working out.
There it is, Nathan Carnes, and he talked about it, you know, trying to just stay in the game for the offense to come to life, and they certainly did. The Mariners were trailing 2-0. Then the sixth inning, they get one back. Smith drives in Aoki. Cruz would single to center. Smith would score. They get 2 runs. And then Kyle Seager, a big blast.
Pitch, swung on, driven deep to right center field. Got a lot of carry. Going back on the track. It is off the top of the fence and gone. A 2-run homer for Kyle Seager. The Mariners have taken the lead. Kyle Seager with his 9th home run. RBIs 28-29. And the Mariners have a 4-2 lead.
So the Mariners take the lead at that point. They would not look back. And Dae-Ho Lee would really punctuate this ball game.
The pitch, swing and a high fly ball. Deep left center field. Upton to the warning track, to the wall. Goodbye, baseball. Out to the pen in left center field. Dae-Ho Lee with a 3-run drive. Holy smokes, his 7th home run of the season. And it's now the Mariners 9 and the Padres 2. They've broken open this game with 5 runs here in the bottom of the 8th.
9-3 would be the final. The Mariners take the ball game. Here's Kyle Seager after the game.
You know, a couple big hits. You know, Seth had the big hit to get it kind of going, and then, you know, big swing by Nelly there with 2 outs to tie it up, and, you know, fortunately for me, the ball had just enough to get over.
You think that was going out? Or?
No, I hit it good. I felt pretty confident about it, and it was a little closer than I was hoping.
Didn't get a lot of breaks over the weekend, but you get the catcher's interference, and that seemed to get some things started?
You know what? He did a really good job of keeping us off the base. You know, he's a really good pitcher, and he's a really good pitcher for a reason. And you know, his ball has a lot of movement. He throws hard. He's a good athlete off the mound. So I mean, there's a lot of things working in his favor. And you know, fortunately, we got a break there with catcher's interference, and you know, Seth and Nelly with the big hits there, and you know, kind of just fed off that.
Kyle, what do you think about the resiliency of your team? You know, you lose three straight like that and come back and get a big one.
Yeah, you know, that's you know, nobody likes to lose, obviously, but we have a good team. You know, it's a long season. You know, you're gonna have, you know, games where you know you hope you won and you didn't, obviously, and you know, that's kind of baseball. And I think you know, being able to bounce back as quick as possible is kind of what separates teams.
Nice bounce back. Absolutely. Nice bounce back win for the M's. Now 29-21 on the season. A half game behind Texas in the AL West. The AL West on fire. Texas has won three in a row. Houston has won three in a row. Oakland has won three in a row. The Mariners and Angels both won their last games. Everyone in the West, AL West, is on a winning streak, even if it's just a game, which is pretty interesting. Meanwhile, everyone in the NL West is coming off a loss. So there you go, baseball. Mariners, the third best record in the American League behind Texas and also the Boston Red Sox. Red Sox with the best record in the league, 31-20. So the Mariners beat the Padres. We'll talk about what comes up today in just a second. But I have a couple home run notes that I think are pretty interesting. Mariners, of course, been great with the long ball. They're not tied with the Mets, the most homers in Major League Baseball right now. And they're just crushing the ball at a pretty amazing rate. And a couple of notes to kind of point that out. Mariners now, they hit multi-home runs yesterday. It's the 24th game this season already they've had multi-home runs in a game. That's already more they had in the entire seasons in 1978, 1981, 1983, 1990, 2004, and 2010. Already more multi-home game home run games this season. Game 50, they've done it 24 times already. They've done it more than six other entire seasons, which I think is pretty incredible. And to add to that, if you pace out what they're going to do or what they've done so far, if they kept this pace up, they would end the season with 233 home runs. Now, it's a pretty ridiculous pace to keep up. So I don't know if they'll make it to 233, but that's what they're on pace for. And to give you an idea of how many that is, that would be the fifth most in franchise history for one season. And it's only because the top four are incredible. Because we're talking the 96, 97, 98, and 99 teams. Those were the Griffey, Edgar, Buehner, Alex Rodriguez-led teams. And keep in mind, the 1997 team, they hit 264 home runs. That's the most for any team in history in one season. So, yeah, we're comparing this to Mariners history, but Mariners history is baseball history because the 97 team has hit the most ever. The 96 team slugged 245 homers. That's eighth most for a team in baseball history. In 1999, they hit 244 home runs. That's ninth most in baseball history. So three of those teams in the top 10 ever. And the other one, the 1998 team hit 234 long balls. That's the 28th most. So the Mariners on pace to hit 233. So that's 29th most in history. Again, it's an incredible pace to keep up, but I'm pointing it out more as it's incredible what they've done so far. Just to put it in a full season context, what it would mean, that's a lot of home runs. They are really bashing the ball with the long ball. It's been pretty impressive what they're doing up and down the lineup. I mean, contributions all over the place, which is what you have to get to pile up that many home runs as a team. But it's been pretty incredible. So there it is, a home run note that I think you'll enjoy. So now the Mariners tangle with the Padres in game two of this brief series. It should be a good one. James Shields on the hill. He's been pretty good. 2-6, a 3.06 ERA. Hisashi Iwakuma takes the ball for the M's. 3-4, a 4.33 ERA. Mariners 4-0 in interleague play so far after beating the Padres, sweeping aside the Reds as well. And they look to keep the roll going today. Day baseball from Safeco Field, 12:40 first pitch. And if the weather's anything like yesterday, this may be a day to take a longer lunch as the Mariners end the homestand with a day game against the Padres. Then onto the road, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow, onto the road for two against San Diego in San Diego. And then a big weekend series against the Texas Rangers. That's going to be fantastic. So there you go, Mariners and Padres coming up today. Right now, we're going to hear from the general manager of the Mariners. Here's Aaron Goldsmith, Mike Blowers with Jerry Dipoto.
Aaron Goldsmith, Mike Blowers, as we're joined by the general manager, Jerry Dipoto. Jerry, thanks for making some time. We appreciate it.
Oh, easy to do.
Well, Jerry, obviously a tough start to this series against the Twins, but if we kind of go bigger picture here, the Mariners have secured back-to-back winning months to start a season for the first time since 2003. That year, that team won over 90 games. What have you been most pleased with if you take a look at how hot of a start, if you can call the first 2 months? I think it's still in the starting phases for the Mariners. That's been a fantastic run to begin the season.
You know, I think with the exception of the last 2 days, which haven't been pleasant, particularly last night, it's the consistency. You know, we didn't get here first place going into Memorial Day weekend. We didn't get here with a 10-game win streak. We got here by winning consistently all year long. I think from the starting pitching to the bullpen to the lineup, we've been pretty well balanced throughout for these 2 months. And not every single guy out there is having a great year, but they find ways to contribute. And somewhere each of the 25 guys on our roster has contributed to wins and big moments, and I think that's what creates chemistry.
Jerry, one of the things that we've talked about is the length of the lineup, the depth of the pitching rotation, the revamp of the bullpen, all of those things. But one of the things that we're now having to talk about is the depth of this club because of injury. Obviously, we've talked a lot about the guys in the bullpen because we started the season somewhat that way, but now your lineup is hurting because a couple of guys who were playing very well are on the disabled list. Can you talk about that a little bit and maybe how, after you were able to put this team together for what you were hoping was your starting nine and your bullpen, and your thoughts on and building up after that, and because you're going to have needs?
You're definitely going to have needs. For us, one of the benefits is that the Tacoma Club and the Jackson Club are both playing extraordinarily well. We do have some in-house options that we're seeing right now to fill voids when injury happens. But Marte and Martin going down, when you lose that kind of athleticism in a lineup, the catalysts that they were when they went down, as hot as Leonis was headed into that injury. I mean, he was smoking hot for the 7-10 days going into that hamstring. It hurts to lose those guys. And more than filling their spots in the lineup, whether they're hitting leadoff in 2 or 9-1, whatever order they're in, it's the energy that they bring to the field every day. And you know, one of the things that as we leave, you know, Marte's going to go out and play in Tacoma this week, and we feel like he is on the fast track. He's going to be back on June 6th, barring any further setbacks. But Leonis, we're going to travel him with the big league club just to keep his energy in the dugout, because he's such a pivotal guy in our clubhouse, and he makes the lineup go. But right now, you know, I think the good thing we're seeing in these last couple of days is Nori Aoki's really stepped up with Leonis down. He's making the plays he needs to make in center field. He's making barrel contact and really doing a nice job offensively. And we're trying to get by. You know, it's when you lose two of your everyday players, and we're that kind of catalytic type players, you want them back in the lineup as soon as possible. But we got to do the smart thing now.
And especially since both of them are playing up the middle of the field on the defensive side, and we talk a lot about their speed. Well, it really plays when they're out there defensively.
No doubt about it. And, you know, you notice it with Marte, particularly when you're playing a left-hand pitcher, like we did the first night of this series. And I thought Pat Dean threw the ball really well. But we are a much different lineup against the left-hand pitcher when we don't have Cattell in our lineup. You know, from the right side, he's been fairly well balanced, but from the right side, he is a real threat against left-hand pitching, and not just a single in a bag. He's got a chance to do a little bit of damage. And those guys were putting on such good at-bats. And in any sunny day or a little rain's going to fall, and you know, we lose them, and hopefully it's just for the 2 weeks and we have them back.
How much of a benefit going all the way back in and when Kevin Mather decided that they needed to make a change in this organization? I know that you had an opportunity to watch this club the last month, but for you it really started before that, didn't it? Like right about the time the interview process started. And what kind of an advantage was that for you?
It was huge for me. And getting the opportunity to walk in the door a week before the season ended was also huge, just to get to know the people and the personalities, particularly with the players. But, you know, about the middle of September, 10th of September, when I first found out that I was going to be involved in the process, it really had a chance to immerse myself in the Mariners and what they were about, and not just the Mariners, but the pieces around the league that might best fit the needs and the holes. Therefore, when we got to the end of the regular season, we were able to move a little bit quicker than everybody else because we had we had a quick start.
Mariners general manager Jerry Dipoto is our guest here on Mariners Sunday Magazine. Jerry, we had a chance about 20 minutes ago to talk things over with your farm director, Andy McKay. We always learn something and really always enjoy our conversations with Andy. The farm system right now, you kind of referenced it a moment or two ago. Right now the Rainiers are in first place in AAA, AA Jackson Generals in first place. Clinton, low A ball is a game outside of first place. What has it been like for you working with Andy so far this season? He described his life as a science experiment of lack of sleep and overdoses of caffeine. So just so you have an inside look as to your farm director, it looks like he's globetrotting and working a lot.
Oh, he's definitely globetrotting. The last update I got, he was in the dugout in Clinton yesterday and had to duck from a bat whistling over his head. So there was some
life.
Yeah, Dalton Kelly was in imminent danger of finding his spot in the lineup. Bounced, but Andy's done a great job. I can't say enough about him, about Mike Micucci, our field coordinator, Rick Waite, Scott Brocious have been huge adds for us. You know, I think the way this team or this organization has really gravitated toward the philosophies that we implemented has been unbelievable. You know, we came in spring training and we really stressed, back to the hitting summit we had in January, really stress the idea that we're going to control the strike zone. And these guys are doing it. You know, we're on base more. We strike out less. We are taking our walks. And as a result, we're scoring runs. And it's happening not only here in Seattle, but it's happening through our system where you've got some young prospects that are really taking steps forward, really excited about where Tyler O'Neill is right now. He's having a great season. Excited that Mike Zunino got back on track this week, had a little bit of a rough start to the month of May after a smoking hot April. But now I think we're seeing him get his swing back where it needs to be. And recovering through the system. Alex Jackson getting out to join the Clinton Club and hitting three homers in the first 10 days out and see where this takes him. And really excited about the young players in the system. But more importantly, I'm very excited about the fact that we've implemented a process and a program, and it's working very well.
We talked to Andy a little bit about Edwin Diaz as we have just a couple of minutes left with Jerry Dipoto. Can you give us what you've heard from Diaz since he's made the transition to the bullpen?
I would be shocked if this could have gone any better for Edwin than it has. Edwin has been 94 to 99 miles an hour just about every night he's thrown. He has yet to give up an earned run since becoming a reliever. He's running a strikeout rate of about 15 per nine.
That's all.
Yeah, it's he has yet to walk a hitter. I think he's given up three hits total, and he's been a reliever now for more than a couple of weeks. So, you know, he's exciting. The average velocity is 96, 97. It's real lively with sink. He's throwing strikes and making a strong case that he no longer needs to be pitching in Jackson.
and a nasty slider, is that correct?
Very correct. And crazy angles. You know, he's not easy to look at. It's a little bit of an unorthodox delivery. It's a little bit of a herky-jerky motion and arm action, and now you got a 6-3 down plane sinker coming in at you at 96-97, and it's an uncomfortable at bat. It's pretty exciting where he's at, and I feel like he's going to play a part in what we do in the not too distant future.
Jerry, we always appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
You got it, guys.
And here's Shannon Dreher with former Padre, now Mariner, Nick Vincent.
Nick, as you look out, you're going to look over there and see a lot of familiar faces on the Padres today. You know, just really kind of a unique experience just walking from one side of a spring training complex to another, but it was one that you were prepared for. You knew there was a possibility of that. What's it going to be like to see these guys, and what are you looking forward to seeing them on the other side?
It's going to be good to see the guys. You know, it's guys you played with the last couple of years and guys I met through all spring training. They got a bunch of good guys over there, good group. So it'll be good to see faces, but when it goes between the lines, it's you and your team. So, I mean, we've got a good team here, and we're going to go out there and try to beat them.
You've had some time to settle in. It was a whirlwind at the end of spring. What have you learned about your teammates over here since then?
These guys like to have fun. They're relaxed. They like to have fun. Everybody likes to do stuff with each other, no matter what, if it's on the road or at home. Like, it seems like guys are going golfing no matter where they're at. But it's good team chemistry over here. You got a lot of guys that are willing to hang out. A lot of the veteran guys are willing to, you know, talk to you for hours on time. So it's a good, like, teaching mechanism for all the young kids and the younger guys. But it's been a good clubhouse over here, and I'd be blessed to be over here.
Talk about the veterans talking to players. Who have you enjoyed talking with, and who have you kind of taken something from in that regard?
I mean, Joel Peralta's always – he's talking all the time. But he's always got really good stuff to say, and he's, I mean, he's been in the league for 13 years now almost, or something around there. Him and Benoit, I mean, those guys, as a bullpen guy, like, those are two guys that I look up to the most and follow their footsteps and kind of, you know, whatever they say, I listen to.
What are the kinds of things? Do they talk about approaches? Do they talk about staying ready, watching a game? What are the kind of things they talk about?
Yeah, I mean, it's approach, it's life, it's stuff you do on the field, off the field. It's just how to be a professional ball player and stay in the major leagues for 13 years or 14 years. So it's just little things you pick up on, and then they got stories on days on days on days. So they'll keep you entertained down there. And then also Hampton down there. He was 17 years, so he's another guy that's, he says something and you listen. So there's a lot of veteran guys down there that can help out this bullpen.
It's a unique group out there in that you don't really have some of your stereotypical power-type guys that are lining up this, 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 and this. You've got guys with different stuff, and your versatility has kind of come into play. We see you, and we know you can get righties out. Next thing we know, you're going out there, and you're giving multiple innings. How much of an adjustment has that been for you?
I started earlier in my career, so I know if I got to go out there and throw two innings, I can do it, but it's just if I throw 50 pitches or if I throw 25 pitches. Just the other night, those guys were fouling stuff off, and I got behind some guys, walked a guy. So it was just one of those games where you just ended up throwing 50 pitches, and it was certain circumstances where it was a couple lefties got on, then it was three righties in a row, so they want to bring in another lefty to face all the righties. So it was just kind of one of those games you kind of had to stay in there and battle through it.
Yeah, we were just talking about you obviously came from the Padres, but you also grew up in San Diego. It's Memorial today. That is a very, very military community right there. What do you take from growing up and seeing that? Not, you know, both as a kid in the area and also at the ballpark. Every time we go to San Diego, there's a good military presence there.
Yeah, no, San Diego's got a huge military presence. I mean, they do their Sunday military games. They bring out hundreds of military guys to come out and sit in the stands to support, you know, the military day. And Padres, they do a good job on supporting the community with the military base, which Seattle does too. They got the color guard out here every day. So, it's just awesome what they do for us, what they do for the country. I mean, they go through a lot, just like baseball players go through a bunch. But, I mean, they're across the world. We're only 4 or 5 hours away from our families. So just a huge appreciation for everybody that has fought for our country and fighting for our country.
Yeah, and I think every guy in that clubhouse would echo those thoughts today. Nick, thank you.
No problem. Have a good one.
And here you go with the week that was.
This is the week that was.
A look back on highlights and events of the Mariners past week.
On Mariners Magazine.
The stretch and the pitch. Swing and a fly ball into right field. Nelson Cruz backing up. He's there and makes the catch. The ball game is over. The Mariners win it 5-4. Here in Cincinnati, and they sweep aside the Reds in the three-game series, and they finish out the road trip with a record of 5-1.
The pitch swung on, little tapper wide of the mound over his Cairns, can't get to it, but Cano does, shovels the ball right to Lynn at first base. Not even a transfer, and it's in time to get Coco. Two outs in the inning. Robbie Cano racing in and just scoops it right over to Adam Lynn in time to get Chris for the second out of the inning. Nicely done by Mr. Cano. The 1-1. Swing and a well-hit ball like that one. Right center field. Going. Goodbye baseball. Robbie Cano with his 13th home run of the season. And the Mariners are right back in it. A two-run shot. It's now the Athletics 5 and the Mariners 4. Three RBIs for Robinson Cano in tonight's game, and now the Mariners trail by only one. The right-hander's 1-2 pitch to Martin. Swing and a high fly ball deep to right field. Going. Goodbye baseball. Leonis Martin with a walk-off. Two-run home run here in the
lot of fans screaming at the top of my lungs, fists pumping in the air and jumping up and down, high-fiving my wife and really smiling along with everybody else. Those nights are magical, and you know, ride. You're at the top of the wave. Ride it while you can.
Oh my God, it's amazing feeling. For me, this the best feeling I have after baseball.
The 0-1 pitch, Lynn with a swing and a fly ball deep to right field, and this ball game is tied. Goodbye, baseball. Adam Lynn with his fourth home run of the season.
1-1. Swinging a high lift right field. And this is gone by a ton.
Two at-bats, two home runs from Adam Lynn. He's driven in four with two swings. And he's blown it wide open at the bottom of the third inning. You can make it 7-1, Mariners.
Yeah, there's been incremental improvements throughout, you know, probably the last 2 to 3 weeks, and tonight, it all worked out.
The next pitch, swing, and a shot up to left field. Does it have the second deck? Just above the scoreboard in left field. Cruz absolutely murders the pitch coming in from Andrew Triggs. It is long gone, no longer in existence. It is 10-3, Mariners. One swing and a well-hit ball deep to right field. This one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. It just misses the Hit It Here Cafe way back into the lower deck down the right field side. Robbie Cano with his 14th home run of the season. Holy cannoli, and the Mariners now lead it 13-3 over the A's. There's the pitch, swung on, well hit ball deep to right field by Goody. Going back to Sano to the warning track to the wall. Goodbye, baseball. Franklin Gutierrez going the other way with his third home run of the season, and it gives the Mariners a mighty quick 1-0 lead.
Here's the pitch,
swing and a well hit ball deep to right field by Norrie. Going, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Just beyond the reach of Miguel Sano, tried to bring it back. Norioki with his first home run of the season. Right away, the Mariners answer with a home run by Nori, number one, and it's now the Twins 2 and the Mariners 1. How about that?
See you later!